We're going to talk today about overcoming negativity in negotiations. Negativity, overcoming negativity, the strategies we give you are all of the foundational strategies of the Black Swan Group. Genuine curiosity, listening on a deeper level, and especially demonstrating tactical empathy during your negotiations. There's probably a negative somewhere in their mind, or you wouldn't be negotiating. They would have given you all you wanted up front. And remember, you're in a negotiation. Anytime I want or I need is in your mind or the mind of your counterpart. So when you internalize that there's always negativity present, it becomes that much more important to overcome the negativity. And one of the little magic pieces of the Black Swan Method is we insist that you address the negative. Because unaddressed negatives, whether they be emotions or dynamics or whatever, unaddressed negatives never go away. They never die. And people don't realize how much the other side filters what you say through their negatives. So when somebody's trying to sell you a car, most people are listening to what the salesman says for what's wrong or what they can argue about, or in any negotiation, it's like that. What are they trying to get over on me? Is this what's best for me? Is this what's best for my future, my company's future, all of those things? And if you don't trust the process and address those negatives, you're going to have a problem, because you're going to be filtering in your mind those everything they say through negatives. And if you haven't addressed their negatives, that's the big one. Because they're not thinking clearly. If they've got negatives in their mind, they're not processing what you're saying as efficiently as they could. Your mind works up to 31% more efficiently when it's in a positive state. The problem is we're human, so our minds are designed to operate in a negative state, that being a survival state. A loss stings twice as much as an equivalent gain. So we're always on guard for that. Our amygdalas in our brain, they're designed so that about 75% of their resources goes toward negativity, towards survival, towards fear. And you have to address that on the other side. The beauty of this is, if you don't ignore it, if you get out in front of it, if you diffuse it, you've not only made a better deal, you've not only uncovered black swans, but you formed a longer term relationship, a more healthy relationship. So use the techniques, all nine, labels, mirrors, especially your tone of voice. That matters so much in overcoming negativity. And the big thing is, during your prep, however short it might be, remember that the negativity exists no matter how big their smile is. There is something there that you need to address, and you need to uncover that. The obstacle I had to overcome was going into a negotiation saying, I know that, and I would end that with, they want this, or they think this, or I know that last time this happened. When you assume those things, you're biasing your mind. And it's nearly impossible not to do that. If you've ever taken any critical thinking or analysis classes or anything like that, your mind goes that way because it's efficient, but it's fast. And so it tries to answer questions for the other person. We want to overcome that by demonstrating tactical empathy and being genuinely curious. Troy, Marcella, add.
Yeah, so Don, you brought up something very valuable. You were saying that there's always something negative, no matter what, during a conversation, is, you know, especially when there's I need or I want. And most people, when you think about it right away, and how many times have we coached people and they always talk about the price? Even when we're at live events, everybody want to talk about price. And that's a negative to everybody. Both sides feel that negative impact. Right away, somebody's thinking, well, they're not going to overcharge me. And the other side is, I hope they don't ask about price. So you're getting the negatives right off of the top. And And we get so many questions from people asking, how do we deal with that?
Right. And what they, and in my experience, most of them don't want to deal with it. They want a way around it instead of diffusing it. They want, how do I not bring up price? How do I not, you know, hit them over the head with this too early instead of actually addressing what's on the other side?
Yeah. Or even worse, they say to themselves, oh, I can handle that when it comes up, when I have to handle it.
Oh yeah.
I'm so good at what I do. It's not going to be that big of a problem, which is really not addressing the other side's fear and going in with a negotiation mindset.
That strikes me because that is so absolutely true where, I mean, a lot of us negotiate seat of our pants and, you know, that's fine as long as you're basing it in genuine curiosity and that deeper listening, you can do that. That's actually what we train you to do is go off what the other side's giving you. But if you go in going, I'll figure it out. And then your figure it out has nothing to do with curiosity or any of that. You just want to talk over the negativity. You're leaving all that money on the table.
Yeah. Cause we can mislead ourselves. Cause we overlook our own fear. Right. And so we see the smiles and the, And we're thinking, oh, we've got this, it's in the bag. And we're missing all the things that we should be slowing down on.
That is an excellent point because, and we've talked about it as a team, we get happy ears. And as soon as you get happy ears, you assume the negatives are all gone because they're all gone for you. So you just straight ahead, all ahead full, right through all the sandbars and rocks and trying to overcome that don't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good point. It actually makes the conversation more difficult. Think about this. We constantly tell people and beat them over the head with the conscious mind processes 40 bits of information per second. The subconscious mind processes 20 million bits of information per second. That's not just for us. That's for the other side. So when you try to go around that negative, their subconscious is telling them something's not right here. And you're making that conversation just that much more difficult.
That, yeah, absolutely you are. And that reminded me of a point. I just wrote an Edge article a little while ago about overcoming negativity in negotiations. And one of the things as I was writing it, I realized a big issue that we have with overcoming negatives on the other side is, like you said, we're holding on to them ourselves. So remember to self-label. This has been proven over and over in different studies. But when the other side raises their voice or says something you don't like, and the negative within you starts growing, you need to self-label. It seems like this person is pushing my buttons, or it seems like that's going to be a problem for me. Whatever it is, you don't say it out loud. You think it in your head, but you self-label real quick. And studies have shown over and over that that helps diffuse your own negatives. What that does for you is it helps you moderate your tone of voice so that you don't attack back tonally or otherwise. It also makes you more present in the conversation because once you've labeled it to yourself, your mind stops that act or it slows that activity in the negative centers so you can think more clearly because it is very difficult to overcome, to even think about overcoming the negatives from the other side if you don't overcome the negatives within you a little bit to the extent that you can. And remember, you're going to react. Your brain is, at least. Whether you react or respond, which is what you want to do, if you're not present in your own head and self-labeling, you're going to react. And when you do, it's going to make things that much harder. Now, these skills are forgiving. So if you mess up and you snap a little bit, hey, apologize, label, you know, I'm sorry. It seems like I completely missed the mark on what I just said. Anything like that. Just get those negatives tamped down. And I'm a basics guy, but the other beauty that I find in this, when I use it in conversations, when I use it in negotiations, it is so much fun to unlock people by diffusing those negatives and watching it on their side because you're different. Because I mean, everybody talks to people, other people, by going around their negatives. And when you don't do that, the other side, you'll see them sometimes, they stop and take a breath for a second because you're doing something and they feel different, but not in a bad way. So they take just a second and their little fear center bounces their eyes back and forth. And then you get to smile because they've been worried about this for a week leading up to this difficult conversation. And they were worried about how they were going to get it to you, how they were going to confront it, how they were going to deal with it, what you might say or do when they bought it up. They're worried about all this stuff. And you bring it up in your second accusations on it. They're great with that because now they don't even have to worry about that anymore. All that concern, all that they prepped for, that's over because you just confronted it and diffused it in their mind. And now they get to, you can see their shoulders sag because they're not braced up for whatever is coming, and you're good to go. Don't stop it, but continue confronting possible negatives. But yeah, it works. It's so much fun unlocking people.
Yeah. And unlocking yourself. You said so much there that I think is so powerful, because we go into negotiations and if we're nervous or if we're, you know, hesitant, or this is a subject matter that's really charged us, we're less curious. And if we self-label ourselves, we're more aware of our own potential to be reactive. And this is all about maintaining curiosity. And so starting with self-labeling, going into whatever the negotiation is going to help you maintain your curiosity and not react. And then it's all about continuing to be curious. Why do they say that? And labeling mm-hmm. it if you don't understand, or if you mm-hmm. think it's a negative dynamic or positive. Yeah. Troy, it looks like you have something.
That's so great about yeah, the accusations audits, you know, that he brought up, the accusations audits, getting out in front of it, preemptive labels. How many times have we told people about accusations audits and they'll throw out one or two and they think that's it, and they don't trust in the process. You know, when you coach them, have a coaching client that every session I tell them, you know, accusations audits. So I've actually had him sitting down and writing down his accusations audits in his journal that he's used throughout the day to get him more confident and aware how powerful they are. And he actually told me a story yesterday about how they used the accusations audits, and the individual that he was working with and was, you know, actually representing didn't attack him because he had gotten out in front of it and he was expecting an attack. Powerful stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, yeah, it's so much fun to do that stuff. And the only downside, if you can call it that I see with it is every time I do it and it works so well, I think, man, I struggled through most of my life doing it not this way. And how many fights did I have? How much stuff did I miss? How much money did I leave on the table because I didn't adopt this earlier? And, you know, I don't like to live in regret, but when you look like this, you're going to have regrets. it really is. If you have fun with these skills, you want to take them serious, but when you have fun with them and you start unlocking those negatives on the other side, it's interesting because a lot of times you'd leave a difficult conversation or negotiation before you adopted the Black Swan lifestyle and you'd say, oh, I wish I'd have said this, or oh, I wish I'd have said that. And what you really should have done is labeled the other side, because you would have found out that the point you were trying to prove was something they already thought or they were already worried about. And you could have overcome that just by listening instead of talking. And it's a good time. Do we have any questions yet? I don't know. But what's your favorite strategy, Troy?
Any questions?
What's that?
Yeah, I was going to say, before they, while they're waiting to see if there's any questions. One of the most difficult times to use these skills is when it's personal and when it's your family. You know, you they say something and they know how to pull your trigger. They know how to get you upset. They know how to say the things that will trigger your responses. And then they try to act like, you know, they didn't intentionally mean to do it. Those are some of the most difficult conversations and negotiations that you have to deal with, where these skills are going to be so valuable in diffusing some of these situations and conversations that you may have with your family members or relatives, because they seem like they're the ones who could trip that trigger the quickest.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, because I was just talking to a coaching client last week about that very thing. And it matters so much in our day-to-day interactions with our family and close friends. But we were talking about like yearly holidays and yearly get-togethers, where there's always that one person that they just dread seeing, that they, you know, the whole family just rolls their eyes when they show up, and nobody ever addresses the negatives with that other person. And you don't, the thing is, you're not doing this in a confrontational way. Tactical empathy is how you confront. So listening, being curious, and I did it with a member of my own family that every holiday when we got together, it was, you know, little side conversations in a different room about how they were driving us crazy and how they hadn't changed and how they were relitigating the same thing from last year over and over again. And I set about listening, and me and this family member had a nice conversation, and I let them talk. And once they had gotten through all of it, and it seemed like a long conversation because I was listening on a very deep level. It probably only lasted 25 minutes, maybe a half hour. But in that time, I completely disconnected that issue from going forward. Like when we get together now, we don't have those same conversations. We don't have the same behaviors because they're not standoffish. They feel heard and understood, at least by me. And so it's gotten measurably better, but it is so difficult. We let that fester for years, literally, because we didn't want to confront the negatives with a family member.
Those are high stakes with family.
Yes. You can come up, Gabby. We won't throw you out of the room.
Well, I just wanted to bring up our first question, and then I'm going to bring up Chris. So this question was, what do you do if you're in a negotiation where they need approval from another party and the negativity is coming from that other party?
When they need approval from another party.
So they need approval from a boss, or you're in negotiation and they need approval.
I would say that it doesn't change. No matter what you're looking for out of your difficult conversation or your negotiation, you start with genuine curiosity, prepare for it using the caviar techniques, maybe write down some accusations audits and rank them like we teach you to, and then go in with your genuine curiosity, your tactical empathy, ready to demonstrate tactical empathy, and see what the other side is thinking. Because this is a very great question for me, because I missed it so many times with my bosses before, and I realized that I would go in assuming that I was going to have to defend my ask. And there are more than a few times when, if I had listened carefully and demonstrated tactical empathy, I would have found that they had absolutely no issue with it. They'd never thought about it before, maybe, or they were wanting to get that problem solved and this was a good solution. But when you listen to them in that way, when you demonstrate tactical empathy, when you label the negatives and use accusation audits, many times you're going to let them have your way, and they're going to come up with your solution, and I think we should do it this way. And do a couple of what and how questions to make sure that everybody's on the same page and they know what it's going to look like at the end. And their approval comes without asking. What am I missing, Marcella?
You're on point. And when you're dealing with a third party, remember to label the pressure that the person that you're speaking with is under. Because they're under pressure and there are going to be some negatives and some things that they want to make sure to address that are coming from this other party. So don't leave out labeling those things. Some people work directly and engage only the negatives that they're dealing with immediately. So don't overlook the secondary negatives. Those are more important, I would say. Immediately address that through labeling.
Yeah. And you talking about the third party, we always tell people, seems like you have somebody else that is the decision maker. It seems like you have to answer to someone else. Figure out what it is. Help give them the tools to go back and do the proof of life for you. You know, go out and tell your value, because they were asked to go out and negotiate on that other person's behalf, on that boss's behalf. And the boss is nervous. What is the why behind his behavior? Why is he attacking? Is he nervous because he thinks that if they come back and they don't do the right thing, that it's going to reflect poorly on him? What is the why behind the behavior? Start looking for that and start addressing those things and giving the person that has to go back, the representative on the other side that has to go back and talk to that boss, start giving them the tools to be able to navigate those things.
Especially when there's like a hard line. Sometimes hard lines are made because there's more information that you're missing, and it's a protective hard line. So if you get curious in getting that why, you'll be surprised what information people will give you about who they're representing or who they're taking information back to and why they think a certain way and why things are important. If you slow the conversation down and don't go right to the goalpost, slow it down and get just information gather first.
And I may have misunderstood the question a little bit. I apologize. But what Troy said really triggered. So many times we get the question, what happens when you've got a gatekeeper that won't get you to the decision maker and they have to get approvals, you know, from the other side, but they won't let you talk to the other side. Treat the gatekeeper as you would the decision maker. Be curious about them. And what Marcella said is absolutely true. So many times we're like, well, I need to talk to so-and-so. Well, they're not available right now. And you give up because you think that that's the decision maker that you're denied access to. Be aware that you are probably talking to the most influential decision maker in that office. If they are trusted enough to keep you from the decision maker, then when you start exercising your genuine curiosity, using your labels, and what Marcella said is so perfect, it seems like you're under a lot of pressure to get this right, or it seems like you get stuck in the middle of a lot of these things. And listen to them, see what pressures they're under, because when they go back to your decision maker, it may well be with something as simple as, I talked to this person and this is the way we should go. The decision maker may want that off of their plate, and they trust the other person. So don't discount what you might consider an underling or a gatekeeper or a receptionist or whatever. Those people control more than you know.
And keep it positive, because if it's a choice between working with you and working with someone else who's dealing with under the same pressure of dealing with a gatekeeper and they're getting kickback, and you're positive and easy to talk to, and you're going to be easy to work through possible future issues with, they're going to be more inclined to work with you.